Robbie O here with the December 2017 Hot Pocket, the short, the mid-month mango. I don't know, try all those on for size. You can probably hear I've got a little URI going, first one of the season. I'd say it's always nice to get that out of the way, but it just never is. Well, before we get into the education, a few bits of business. On a recent short, we talked about a shooting in the Northumberland Hills Hospital Emergency Department, and one of the docs involved nominated the ED staff and law enforcement and EMS and hospital staff, pretty much everyone involved, nominated them for a challenge coin. So what was the result of that? I'm going to read from the December 8th, 2017 Northumberland News article about recognition for the ED and hospital staff. Filling the main floor of the NHH Bistro and the surrounding corridors where the ceremony was held, physicians and volunteers gave a standing ovation as Davis and Dr. Francesco Mulet, deputy chief of the NHH Emergency Department, presented the teams with an award of merit and challenge coins, special international tokens of personal achievement in emergency medicine. Northumberland Paramedics, Coburg Police Services, and G4S Security Services, NHHS's private security provider, were also recognized with awards of merit and challenge coins at the ceremony. And this is not to say, Hey, we're in the news. This is to acknowledge that we in emergency medicine, EMS, we're a community. Some would say a tribe. Tribalism, it gets a bad rap because it creates a divide between us and them. We, us, are better than they, them. That chasm or negative aspect, it's real. It's a problem. But there's a positive aspect as well. And even though the original event was a tragedy, you also hear about the coming together, the tribe of emergency medicine, of EMS, in that news article. Our specialty is like an extended family. You don't have to explain yourself because here, you're understood. All right, let's get into the education and stay tuned at the end for an announcement. Better left for the end, I think, because now it's time to do some learning. Have you ever wanted to do some sort of a block with anesthetic and use epinephrine, but all you can think is fingers, nose, penis, toes, no epi ever? That happens to me all the time. And sometimes I want to do a block in the fictional 11th finger, and I still think no epi in the finger, nose, penis, toes. Well, I think it is time that we debunk that myth, and I'm going to bring in Dr. Andrew Bilt, co-creator, host, and spiritual guide of the Questioning Medicine podcast.
Spiritual guide, I like that. How you doing, Rob? Good to be on. Thanks for having me. It rhymes. I do like that. No epi, fingers, nose, penis, toes. It's catchy. It's fun to say. When you say it once in the day, it kind of sticks with you for the rest of the day, you know? It's just, it's a fun thing to say, but let's debunk it. Let's debunk it and let's not waste any time. Let's get right to the evidence, if you will. A paper, 2010, in Plastics in Reconstructive Surgery, titled "Do Not Use Epinephrine in Digital Blocks, Myth or Truth? Part 2, a retrospective review of 1,111 cases.
I like that the title kind of gives away what they're looking at. What happened in this paper?
Not only does it kind of give it away, it gives away how many patients they were looking at, which was 1,111 cases retrospectively. And guess what? No necrotic fingers, no gangrene. And there were 611 patients with lidocaine with epinephrine, and the average dose was 4.3 cc's, but it ranged from 1 to 10 cc's.
All right, so no necrotic fingers, no gangrene. Pretty good. Zero's good, but this is retrospective data. We'd kind of like to have something a little more robust.
Rob, hold on. Zero's pretty good. It doesn't get any better than zero for no necrotic fingers or no gangrene.
Zero's good, but I'm not going to change my practice based on a retrospective study of all of these because this is such a hardwired myth. It's going to take a lot to push this rock away.
Let's push it a little bit more. Actually, my favorite article, 2004, in the Journal of Dermatologic Surgery, in a piece titled "Epinephrine in Digital Block, Color Doppler Flow Imaging."
I love the title of this because this is actually what I want to see. You give epi, use color Doppler flow. What's going on with the blood flow?
Let's look at the details, if you will. 24 patients with injections in the fingers and toes, and they did digital artery blood flow at 10 minutes after the block. They did it again at 60 minutes, and then finally at 90 minutes after the block. And four patients had no flow at 10 minutes.
That's bad. That's what we want to know, right? Four patients out of 24, not an insignificant number, no flow at 10 minutes. I mean, we know the epi's going to vasoconstrict, no flow, that's not good.
No flow sounds bad, and no flow is bad if it's the heart or the brain, but all the flow returned to normal by 60 minutes, so no need to fear.
It's interesting, as I think about that, as you say it, that when I put on a finger tourniquet, I'm seeking a no-flow state for, you know, sometimes well over 10 minutes because I want a bloodless feel while I'm doing the procedure. So blood flow returns to normal by 60 minutes. So it seems like the data is kind of adding up. But I think that for people to feel like they have permission to change practice, or at least if they're going to use epi or use epi in the, say, in the hand to do a digital block, kind of want permission. And what that takes is a guideline.
Did you say guidelines? Did you speak the guidelines? You see what I'm holding in my hand right here, Great Rob? Last year, 2016, guidelines, baby. Oh, yeah. Guidelines for the use of local anesthesia in office-based dermatologic surgery. They came out in these guidelines right here, and they address this issue of lidocaine with epinephrine. They say, and I quote, "The addition of epinephrine to local infiltration anesthesia is safe and recommended for use on the ear, nose, hand, feet, and digits, grade A recommendation. The addition of epinephrine to local infiltration of anesthesia may be considered for use during procedures on the penis, grade B recommendation."
Grade A is pretty strong recommendation, which surprises me that we went from, hey, this is something that shouldn't be done, to it's grade A that it's okay to use.
Not only A-OK to use, grade A as in grade awesome, it's okay, it's safe, and as they say, recommended to use.
I have kind of mixed feelings about this. The one is that, all right, the evidence suggests in this guideline seems to give the okay that you can use epinephrine for these blocks, for anesthesia in these areas. But if you don't need it, then you don't have to, because we know that there is going to be vasoconstriction, at least some number of patients, some percentage of patients are going to have no blood flow for a while. And certainly a bloodless field is great, but I'd actually rather have total control over when that bloodless field starts and stops with a properly placed tourniquet than using a medication for it. If I need to use the epi, okay, sounds like it's not such a big deal, but if I don't need it, then I'm not gonna.
And I think that's a perfect way to think about this. If you want to do it, go for it. If you don't want to do it, don't do it. If you're using a tourniquet and you don't want to use it, that's fine. If you want to use that tourniquet and epinephrine, maybe get like a double tourniquet, like double goodness, go for it. The rhyme has been debunked, but it's such a fun rhyme to say. I'm probably still going to say it a little bit anyways, just because it's fun. It's kind of catchy.
All right, go ahead. Say it one more time.
No epinephrine in the fingers, nose, penis, and toes.
And that could be the last time that's ever said.
It's the last time that I'll ever say and mean it, but I'm going to say it again. Don't you worry. I'm going to say it again.
All right. Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks, Rob.
A lot of you are probably already using epinephrine with digital blocks, but now there's at least some evidence and a derm guideline saying, hey, it's not the end of the world if you do it. And references for all the things that Andrew was talking about will be in the show notes. All right. This will be my last MRAP short. As of December 2017, which is this month, I'm stepping down as the editor and host of MRAP. The March 2018 episode is actually the last one I put together, but we actually did it in production this month because we're a couple months ahead. That's just how the cycle works. But you'll hear my voice on the show probably for years to come because there are so many interviews that have yet to air. It's been an honor, it's been a privilege that you, the MRAP audience, have entrusted me to be part of your education, career, commutes, workouts, road trips, and so on for the last 7.5 years. Now, I'll still be doing medical education, podcasting, conferences, and all of that, but the sun has set on my time at MRAP. Thank you for being part of this community and for doing what you do, because what you do matters.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Mel Herbert here. I have to jump in at this point, obviously, and that's a pretty big announcement that Rob just made. I got to tell you, from my point of view, Rob has been a friend. He has been the consummate professional. We're going to miss him at MRAP. Rob's been on MRAP for about 8 years, and I found him because I heard this really great voice podcasting out in there in the universe, and I contacted him and said, would you be interested in doing some stuff for NRAP? And over time, he did more and more and more. And a few years ago, when I went away to go and work on other projects, I said, Rob, could you basically run this thing for me? Because I got this other stuff I got to do and I'm not practicing right now. And I think it would be best if you did that. And of course, he did it. He did it fantastically. And as I say, he will be deeply missed. He will remain a friend of the show for years to come. He's going to go back and do his own podcast. He's going to be doing lots of other projects. You will see Rob out there. You'll be hearing him on the show for a long time, as he said, because he's done so much content. And in the next 3 months, you won't even notice he's not there, because that's how far ahead we are in production. In many ways, Rob is irreplaceable. He does it in a way that is like nobody else, with a level of sort of professionalism and care that can't be replaced. However, for the next few months, I'm going to step back into the role with Stuart and produce MRAP for the next few months. And then we're doing a sort of an internal shuffle, and we're going to have Jan and Stuart come on as the full-time editors of MRAP. I'm going to be moving over and doing more on C3 and some other new projects that were coming up. And EMA is going to have Sanjay and Mike expand out Paper Chase. So Paper Chase will remain, don't worry, it's going to stay on MRAP, but they're also going to expand into doing EMA. And Raman is going to continue on as our pitch hitter for us, doing EMA when we need it and MRAP when we need it. He is about to become the residency director at USC, which is really a massive job. And he and the rest of us have been worried, like, can he do all of this? And so it's actually not bad timing for him to take a bit of a step back and just look after the residents for now. So that's the updates, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. And again, to Rob, our friend, our colleague, our inspiration for so much of what he has done in the last few years. Sir, I'll talk to you soon. Thank you for what you do, because you know what, Rob? What you did and what you do, it really matters.